In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The apostles were having a moment. Perhaps it was that post-resurrection glow. Perhaps they were realizing that God was doing something new, and they were right there at the center of it. Perhaps it was the thrill of going from the very depths of grief to the beginnings of a movement that was alive and growing. Something about what was going on was capturing people's imagination and drawing them in. They were having a moment. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you were a part of a community that was just gelling so perfectly and everything seemed to be plugging along and people wanted to be a part of it? That's what was happening to the apostles as new believers, according to the Acts of the Apostles, kind of flocked to them. And those people coming in, they came to be baptized and to be a part of those gatherings of prayer and fellowship and communion and miracle. Because to be together in this intentional, embodied way was to be in the presence of Christ. That was what they hungered for. To have that feeling of being in the presence of Christ. And by gathering in the presence of Christ, they became the presence of Christ. Whether or not they knew it, those early disciples were learning how to listen for the voice of Jesus. They were coming together, yes, to be in that presence, but what they were doing with these practices were honing their hearing so that they could learn to recognize the very voice of Christ in their midst. In the gospel, Jesus is the shepherd at the gate who calls out his sheep out to pasture and then home again. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They were learning how to hear his voice. In a world where speech is often shrill or even violent, where our eyes and our ears are commodified, and even images can no longer be believed, thank you very much, AI, it is nothing short of a miracle that Jesus speaks in such a way that we can hear him and recognize him. Jesus speaks into existence, wholeness, and grace. But he also offers a word of guidance and encouragement. We know that we are hearing Jesus and not something else, not a guru of our own choosing, or even those voices inside of us that we think want to lead us to good things, but not always. Well, we know that we are hearing Jesus when it is a word of love that allows us to let go of our fear. We know that we are hearing the voice of Jesus when it gets us out of our heads and past our agendas and awakens us to the presence of the eternal. Now, our job as Christians is to follow Jesus. But perhaps we need to start with developing that skill of hearing, of learning to recognize that voice when we hear it. So how do we do that? With all the noise in our world, with all the voices competing for our attention, how do we learn to listen for the voice of Christ? How do we recognize it as authentic and holy so that we can follow where he leads and then return safely home at the end of the day? when those first followers of Jesus, in that moment that they were having when they gathered together as much as they did, when they came together to pray fervently and to love courageously, they were the keepers of something new. They were kindling something that the world had never really seen before, and they were holding on to something alive that the world beyond their doors hungered for. When they did that, they also fine-tuned their hearts to listen for the voice of God. In that admittedly brief window of time, in that moment that they were having, by listening in on that, we actually get a master class on how to listen. Scripture tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. They watched in awe as the disciples performed miracles. They shared their things in common, selling what they had and distributing the proceeds to anyone who needed it. They ate together with glad and generous hearts. This life in community was more than just a chance to be together. This is part of what taught them how to listen. We tune our hearts when we practice our faith in community, with openness to grace and miracle, with prayer, with the bread of communion, and the embodied fellowship of faithful community. Now, remember, once again, the apostles were having a moment. This is not the way church ended up being for all time. It probably lasted, I don't know, a few months, a few years, and then humans are humans and life is life, and it all sort of crumbled out into what life is. And as much as we want to paint this wonderful glow of a community as our ideal, it didn't quite work out that way, but we should remember that something was happening, something very special. The very nature of the body of Christ was going through a change. It was growing. Think about this. When Jesus was still walking among them before the ascension, it was easy to identify what the body of Christ is. It's there he is, right there. Hi. But then when he was no longer with them, there was a shift in how they understood the body of Christ. And I think they probably looked to the apostles, that first generation of those who actually walked alongside Jesus, who broke bread with him, who laughed with him and cried with him and grieved when he was gone. These apostles carried a certain witness, that first-person witness that allowed them to become, in a way, the body of Christ for that first generation. But even they had to know that wasn't going to last. The first generation was only going to be the first generation for a period of time. And so you already begin to see, and I think that's what's happening in this beautiful communion, because the people who were baptized, those faithful folks were beginning to become the body of Christ. It was shifting to them and then to us. The body of Christ was becoming something different. It was becoming the people of God. Now, while, again, it didn't turn out to be the model of church for all time, we do look to them and we learn something really important from how they respond to the moment that they were having, how they respond to the presence of the Holy Spirit right there in their midst. So we can take notes from what we see from this gathering. Now, the first thing that I notice is that they were living their lives somewhat apart from the rest of the world. They had withdrawn from the imperial economy and were living more like monastics than consumers. They were, to use a very modern term, living off the grid. They held everything in common. They even sold what they had so that they could give it away. And actually, it's not clear if that meant that they were just giving it away for those in their community, in their fellowship, or if they had actually sold everything they had so that they give away to anyone who is in need. And I have a feeling it was that second one. So maybe they weren't so cut off from the world after all. They were just cut off from one side of the economy, yet remaining even more connected to those in their midst and those beyond their circle who had need. Their priority was to pour themselves out, just like Jesus did on the cross, to give away the goods, the material wealth that they had, so that any and all of God's children would have what they needed. Their priority was not ownership or individual wealth, but the well-being of anyone who has need. Now, what does this have to do with listening for the voice of Jesus? It tells us that in apostolic times, as well as modern times, the spiritual noise of materialism and that need for security, which oftentimes can come at the expense of somebody else's safety or security, it can be so loud that it crowds out the voices of plenitude and grace. The apostolic economy was instead grounded on a lived experience of having enough. And that knowing what that word enough means also allows all of God's children to thrive. Now, they also had a keen sense of awe and wonder. Now, when I think of awe and wonder, I tend to immediately think of young children or what I experienced when I was smaller, when you just everything in the world was a surprise and oftentimes it was a joy. The youngest among us just naturally have this sense of, wow, look at this thing I'm seeing that I've never seen before. And as we grow a little bit older, yeah, we get a little bit jaded. We've been around the block a few times. It's hard to get us to move to that place of awe and wonder. But you know, I think we are really living into our spiritual lives when we reclaim that sense of wonder, when we have the ability to see something that we had never seen before and suddenly realize that God has done something in our midst that we never expected. You see, awe and wonder are more than just expressions of surprise. Awe and wonder, I think, are things that stretch our spirits so that we can suddenly have a wider capacity to see and imagine what God is doing with us and through us here in this world. Awe came upon everyone in this beautiful gathering because miracle and wonders were happening. And that should be enough to fill us with awe and wonder. But not only that, they themselves were the ones doing it. I mean, it is one thing to see Jesus perform miracles and signs and wonders. I mean, that's impressive, but I'll tell you what really will fill us with awe and wonder when Dorothy does it, right? Or Toby, or those of us here in our community, or when it's us, when we suddenly realize that God is moving mountains and doing it through us. And that filled them with awe and wonder. If anyone has seen Project Hail Mary, they were like the alien learning English, bouncing around with joy, who kept saying, amaze, 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 because they were so filled with amazement at their new language and their ability to see things that they had never seen before. we also see in those early gatherings something that we just don't talk about enough. And it's not controversial. It's not anything that shocks us. It's just something that we take for granted until we suddenly realize that we don't have it as much as we used to, and we realize just how important it is. It mattered that they were together. It mattered that they were together. They gathered for communion and for prayers. They had meals together. They ate with glad and generous hearts. They cared for one another. They listened to each other. They were with one another in their imperfections and saw in each other the imprint of God and the presence of grace. Not in spite of their imperfections, but because of them. We gather in Christian community, not just because we want to be together, but because without it, we can't fully hear the voice of Jesus. Oh, sure, as individuals, we can listen carefully and choose our favorite podcasts and pick the right books and figure it all out on our own. But not really. Without our relationships of fidelity and mutual care, without the guidance of tradition and mutual discernment, without the experience of shared prayer and song, it can be difficult to hear the voice of Jesus above the clamor of all those voices in our world, above our own fears and anxieties. Without the communion, it can be hard to hear Jesus guiding us out into the world and then back into the safety of God's embrace. They were having a moment. Now, we can call it the apostolic moment, with stories of first-person witness and the Spirit of God fashioning them into the very body of Christ. It was a moment, though, but it was not to be the last one. When we gather with the same hope, with the same love, to break bread with the same glad and generous hearts, we both return to that moment and invite the Spirit in to create something new and alive in our community, in our world, in our hearts today. When we tune our hearts to the resonance of grace, to the voice of the Good Shepherd, we awaken to the presence of the Holy in this very time and place. In that moment, when our hearts are generous and glad, and we receive from one another the gift of grace, in that moment, we abide in the presence of God. In that moment, we become the body of Christ. Amen.